Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening, listeners. It's now 8:30, and it's time for Inspirational Wednesday, hosted by myself, Diane Adams. And I thank God because I could see the lights being lit up on the studio board that you have decided to come back again. It is an honor as well as a privilege to come before you guys every week after week exploring the Word of God. Tonight, we're going to have a lesson, and the title of the lesson is Whatever You Feed, That's What Will Grow. And it's necessary to become a living sacrifice unto God. They had a little problem with the station today. I wasn't able to get on till late, so some people may have called and couldn't get in, but I pray that they called back. But our lesson is coming from the book of Romans. We're going to be in the 12th chapter, the first through the second verse. I pray that everybody had a good week this week. And as we look and live in this world, we see that this world does not love nobody. People are doing anything and everything that seem it right in their own eyes. You know, we have a man running for president, and he's making all kind of ludicrous statements and really threats, and he's showing outrightly his prejudiceness towards people. And you wouldn't have imagined that something like that could happen, and it could go on, and nobody would be able to stop him. And, you know, it's just the world we live in. You know, people are just killing one another most of the time for no reason at all. And even the reason that they think they're doing it, it still doesn't make sense. But we have to hold on to the confession of our faith. The Bible teaches us that we have to be in this world, but we don't have to be of this world. And the reason we come together to explore the Word of God is because we're committed, and we realize that we need the Word to strengthen us, so that we be able to go through the trials and tribulations that's going to come our way. Because just because we love the Lord doesn't mean we're not going to have circumstances, sickness, financial situations, and all alike. But God said he'll never leave us, and he's in the middle of everything we do, and nothing that happened can take him by surprise, and he's going to protect his own. You have to believe that in the midst of these storms. And you have to let your light so shine that men could see the good works and glorify the Father. Because if you're not holding on to God's hand in this world, I don't know how you make it. You're going around doing things any kind of way you want, and you're making it up as you go. But when you do what you do, you got to get what you got. And remember, Jesus did die for our sins, and he has forgiven us of our sins. But Jesus did not die to take your consequences. So we have to remember that in life, and we have to go on, and we have to grow in grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, because it's for us. That's what's going to get you over. That's what's going to help you when the storm erupts, when these different things in life go on. When you look at the 10 o'clock news, there's so much going on, you can't even keep up. But because if you know who your master is and you know who you are, you could understand and you could make it through the day, and you remember that joy comes in the morning. Our lesson, like I said today, is submit yourself unto God. We're going to come from the book of Romans, Romans, the 12th chapter, the first through the second verse. As always, I like to give you background, and I want to tell you tonight that the author of the book of Romans is Paul. You see, Paul understood that he could no longer conform to the world or the law or the errors in the teaching he had received. You see, Paul practiced the religion of Judaism, which was the religions of the Jews. And they were still believing in the law. And even after Jesus Christ came, died, and was buried, and then resurrected, they believed that Jesus was not the one. They say, how could Jesus be the Savior when he's Mary, little boy, and he was born by that old carpenter Joseph? And, Jesus is not the Messiah. And Jesus was a Jew, but they rejected him. They continued to practice Judaism. So Paul said he could no longer conform to the world or the law or the errors in the teaching he had received. You see, Paul allowed the Spirit of God, which is the Holy Ghost, along with the Word of God, to transform him by the renewing of his mind. You know, Jesus met Paul on the road to Damascus, and Paul was going to crucify and beat and jail the Christians because he thought that they were doing blaspheme against God by saying that Jesus was the one. But Jesus met him on the road. Jesus himself, and it was after Jesus' resurrection that he met Paul. He was, Jesus was no longer on earth, and he met Paul, and he told Paul, why do thou prosecute me? And Paul began to understand. So he said he allowed the Spirit of God, which is the Holy Ghost, along with the Word of God, to transform him by renewing his mind daily. Paul then began to want to please God at any cost. This is the attitude we should have and strive to glorify God with our living, turning away from the world and allow the Word of God to fashion us for his service. You see, Christ had given him, talking about Paul, a new life, and he wanted to transform and renew himself into a new way of living. Paul knew the way that he thought before and the way that he acted before. He had to transform his mind because that no longer will fit in to who he was. Because remember, when we accept Christ, he gave us a new life. What sense would it make to have a brand new life and keep dibbling and dabbling in your old life that couldn't afford you anything? And everything attached to your old life is temporal. You see, this should be our goal in our new life, to renew, transform, and learn to live as a living sacrifice. You see, in the Old Testament, the sacrifices was made with animals. In the New Testament, we should learn to sacrifice ourselves. So I'm going into the scripture tonight, and we're going to start with Romans, the 12th chapter, and the first verse. And the scripture reads as follows. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God. And watch what the last part of that scripture say, which is your reasonable service. Your reasonable service, not killing yourself, not giving up your joy in life, not none of that. They say, but it is your reasonable service. You should be reasonable. You should be able to become reasonable enough to do the things of God for all that God has done for you. You see, under the Old Testament, God accepted the sacrifices of animals. But these was just a foreshadowing of the sacrifice of the Lamb of God, which is Jesus Christ. Because of his ultimate, talking about Jesus, once and for all time sacrifice on the cross, the Old Testament sacrifices became obsolete and they are no longer in effect. For those who are in Christ by virtue of faith, you see, we receive grace. The only acceptable worship and sacrifice is to offer ourselves completely to the Lord. You see, under God's control, the believer yet unredeemed body can and must be yielded to him as an instrument of righteousness. In view of the ultimate sacrifice of Jesus for us, this is only reasonable. You know, he's not asking you something real hard. He's not asking you something. He said, look, let's just reason together. Jesus died and bled on a cross, and then he was buried, and he rose, and he took away your sins, and he redeemed you, he justified you, and he labeled you not guilty. He gave up himself for you, and just living as a living sacrifice is only reasonable. Have you ever stopped to think about what God expects of his people as to how they should live or what should they do and even what they should not do? You should remember that all sacrifices that was done, even in the Old Testament, was brought to the altar. And all of the sacrifices had to be of the highest quality, first class. They had to be acceptable unto God. If you're going to present yourself as a sacrifice, God wants you to be first class, high quality, and he wants you to be acceptable unto him. You know, we keep going before God any kind of way we want because we think we bad and big enough and bad enough to do it. But just like God expected the sacrifice in the Old Testament to be acceptable, we in the New Testament should be acceptable as well. We are no longer have to bring a bull or a goat to the priest and go on the altar and let it burn and aroma go up into God's nostril and he says, please. God said that was too hard on the people. And I'm just saying this myself like a little joke because if they had to keep sacrificing animals and bulls, we wouldn't have no more animals in the world. Because it was something that was done over and over and over again. God never meant for us to have a burden on our back. God said, I got to save mankind and stop this sacrifice, and I need one sacrifice. And since I'm a sacrifice, I'm trying to redeem and save man and forgive his sin, I need a man to be sacrificed. You see, Jesus was sinless, which made him a perfect sacrifice, and he continued to be holy and acceptable unto God, even unto death. We ought to take on the image of Jesus Christ and become a living sacrifice. Now, take on the image of Christ. They didn't say we got to be Christ, because let's look at this for a minute. If we could become living sacrifices and become perfect, then every person would have to save themselves by becoming a living sacrifice, which means doing everything totally right and doing what God wants you to do at all times. But if this scripture say, this here say, take on the image of Christ, because now when you listen at that, you could say like this: take on the image of Christ. What did Christ do when he walked the earth? He loved everybody. He tried to help everybody. He healed. He did everything. He showed us how to love, and that's what God's saying. Take on the image of his son. You see, to be like Christ, because we could never be Christ, because if God allowed us to be equal with Christ, we would be boastful. God say he don't have nothing in place where man could boast, because we have to realize it's not by us, it's by the grace of God. We can't save nobody. And if you thought you, if you know, when you're thinking that you're doing something yourself, that's when you don't rely on God. Once we accept Jesus Christ, God began to work in us. And this is one of my favorite scriptures. It's Philippians 2:13, and the scripture reads as follows: for it is God that worketh in you to will and to do of his good pleasures. Now watch this. It is God that worketh in you. God said, I'm doing the work. You just got to let me. It is God that's working in you to will. When you see the word will, that means God is saying, I'm going to give you the desire to want to do it if you work with me, if you let me. If you let me in, I'm going to work in you, giving you the desires to do my will and teaching you how to become a living sacrifice. But it says, it is God that worketh in us to will, and I say that's to give us desire, and to do his good pleasure. what that the to-do means, he's going to give you everything you need to accomplish. God never asks nothing of you without giving you the provisions to be able to accomplish it. God say, I'm in control. I got this. You just have to cooperate. Try to set yourself up as a living sacrifice and let me do my good pleasures in you. Let's take a look at the life of Cain and Abel so we can see what is acceptable and what was not. You see, Abel made a perfect sacrifice unto God. You see, in Genesis 4 and 3, in the course of time, Cain brought some of the fruits of his sorrow as an offering to the Lord. But Abel brought fat portions from some of the firstborn of his flock. You see, the Lord looked with favor on Abel and his offering. I'm still reading scripture, and it's the fifth verse. And on Cain and his offering, he did not look with favor. You know, what I was reading was Genesis, the fourth chapter, the third, and I read through the fifth verse. You see, when we do things our way and don't follow God's plan, I guarantee you're going to wind up in trouble. You see, the Bible does not tell us why God rejected Cain's sacrifice. Perhaps Cain's attitude was improper, or perhaps his offerings was not up to God's standard. You know, it might have that it wasn't his first fruit or his best, or his sacrifice could not shed blood. Because you know the Bible tells us that there needs to be the shedding of blood for the remission of sins. Hallelujah. But the Bible doesn't tell us exactly why God didn't accept Cain's sacrifice. And you know, and that's why I say perhaps, because we have some knowledge where we could just think about it. But God does not explain it, but we know he did not accept it. You see, Abel brought his firstborn with fat portion because he was glad to give back to God what God has given to him. We'll never get in this program and get it right until we understand that everything belongs to God. We are only stewards. And if God gave you this and this and this and this and this, your time God gave you, your resources God gave you, and your talents God gave you, and you're going to do what you want with them, that's ungratefulness. And one of the worst sins in the world is the sin of ingratitude. See, when we give to God with our whole heart of ourselves and our money and our talents, we are saying, thank you, dear God, for allowing me to have this on this side of heaven. Because we have to live in this world until we die or Jesus come back and take us in the rapture. And it's hard living down here. People are losing their sons every day, and their daughters are being misused and abused, and the children is not learning like they should, and it go on and on and on. And God knew that, but he said, I'm going to be your rock, your sword, and your shield. You know, once we got saved, Jesus could have took us back to heaven and where we go to praise God. But God wanted to see what his creation was going to do down here. He wanted to see what could do, and he wanted us to realize what he could do for us. You see, when we do something for God, God evaluates both our motives and the attitude in which is given and the quality of what we offer him. That has not changed. So just remembering that, if you keep your motives right and you have an attitude of thanksgiving and you give him your best, that would be you presenting your body as a living sacrifice. When we give of ourselves as a living sacrifice, we should have a joyous heart because of what we have to give. We should not worry about how much we are given, for all things are God in the first place. Instead, we should joyfully give God our best. An acceptable sacrifice was holy to God then, and it is holy to him now. We should let our light shine, that men could see the good works that God is doing in you. But you see, the problem with that, some people don't have no light because there's no evidence in their lives that they have chose Jesus Christ as their Lord and Master. They don't have evidence that the Holy Ghost is living inside of them, leading and guiding them in the way that God will want them to go. You know? So if you don't have no evidence in you, then you have no light, and God cannot get the glory. You see, if we say that we are his, there should be evidence. The Holy Ghost is working in you, helping to develop you in all areas of your life. It's not so much your job. It's God. The scriptures say that God's yoke is easy and his burdens is light. God is not trying to put things on you, first of all, that you can't accomplish. Second of all, to get you stuck out. Third of all, for you to fail. When God created you before the foundation of the world, he established what your intended purpose would be. You know, if we read and we come up with Jeremiah 11, you know, in the book of Jeremiah, God told a prophet, I know the intent that I have towards you, to give you an expected end. He said, I'm going to be with you when you accept my son, and I'm going to bring you all the way to eternity. And it's going to be good, but you got to let me lead you. You got to learn how to follow. You got to trust that I have your best interests at heart. You see, if we live in the world, and we got to live in the world, but we shouldn't act like the world or be of the world. We have to become disciplined in the way we live. Having discipline is hard, but necessary to produce change. You can't continue doing it the way you're doing and think you're going to get some other results. It just doesn't work that way. You see, God has taken us out of darkness. When you accepted Christ, he pulled you out of darkness into the marvelous light. So when you study the word of God, you should become doers. It is true that no one is perfect, and we know that God is working on us. It is also true that Christians are to live as obedient children, not conforming ourselves with the former lust as we did when we were ignorant. Now, I think that's great. They say, you know, there were so many things we did when we just didn't know no better. And when you know better, you should begin to do better. Because a couple of weeks ago, my lesson was, I believe we live in a dispensation of time of no excuses. You're not going to be able to tell God, I never heard that, I didn't know that. God's going to say the word was there. God has made evidence for everybody. You know, he knew everybody wasn't going to be on the same level. He knew. But you see, he allows nature to show you who he is. When you have a tree in your yard and that tree only blossoms in April and the sun continue to stay in the sky and the wind blow and the lightning roar, he's letting you know, hey, I'm here. So that's why I say we're in a dispensation of no excuses. The internet and the computers and the TV and the satellites is getting into all the different countries because we are taught that Jesus won't come back till everybody has had a chance to hear the word of God and decide if they're going to accept it or not. You see, God is a good God and a fair God. He said, how would it be for one man's sin, Adam, that brought sin in the world, that gave us sin nature, that brought death, how would it be for all of us to die for what he did and not give us a chance? But it's God's desire that all sorts of men be saved. So what God is doing, he's putting it out there. Now, you know, like they say in the early, you could bring a horse to the water, but you can't make him drink. But you're not going to be afforded the privilege to tell God, I did not know. You see, we are called to be holy, and we should be holy in all of our conduct. when we have learned that the things we used to do, we shouldn't do no more, Christ allow us to have a new life. And because of what he did for us, we should want to live as a living sacrifice, which please him. I'm not asking you to stop living a joyous life. You can still have a fun-filled life. But you must do it in God's standards, not the standards of man. You should also watch the things that you do to not cause someone else to stumble or get tripped up. If your actions would offend a weaker brother or sister, then we should shun away from it, even if it's not sinful in a sense. We must be willing to become a mature Christian every day. Our Christian walk should be a long-term commitment. We got to stop taking these vacations on our spirituality. You know, there's no time out. We can't put our righteousness on a shelf and pick it up when it's convenient for us. And there's no leave of absence from your responsibility, just as Paul said he would do it unto death. People are looking at us and reading us when they don't read the Bible. Be presentable to God in all your deeds and actions. The Apostle Paul was not just speaking about our physical body, but our entire person, mind, body, and soul. What you need to do is ask yourself, how was I before Christ, and how am I now? And I want to just tell you this little secret. If everything is the same, then something is wrong. There's no Christian growth. There's no turning around, no transforming your mind, or none of that. The more we present ourselves unto God, the more Christian growth we will gain. More maturity will be established, and we will be strengthened in the things of God. God has done and is doing and has promised to do all that he said he would do. God's purpose for your life can only be accomplished once you totally submit. And you got to remember this. Whatever you are feeding, that's what's going to grow. Check yourself out. Evaluate yourself. And just think about it. In the Romans 12:2, we're going to read that scripture, Romans 12:2, and it reads as follows. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So you say, what is this scripture talking about? Be not conformed to this world. Do not allow the world to change you to its standard, but be ye transformed. You got to renew your mind, because remember, everything starts in the mind. Satan play in your mind, and in your mind you decide to get committed unto God. But renew your mind that you may prove that which is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You see, once we accept Jesus, God has a good and perfect plan for you. Christians are called to not conform any longer to the patterns of this world with its behavior and its customs that are usually selfish and often corrupting. Do you consider worldly behavior off limits? You have to ask yourself that. Do we participate in anything and everything that the world do? Then that should tell you something. Because the Bible says once you are saved, you become a peculiar person. And I'm not telling you you can't enjoy life. I believe more enjoyment come in life when you do it God's way. Because then you're going to have peace, you're going to have joy, you're going to have long suffering, you're going to be patient. God is going to be working in your behalf. The Holy Ghost is going to be leading you, you know. And God said, if you take care of my work, I'll take care of yours. So, you know, you do the work of God, and God's going to work for you, and you're going to be able to sleep at night, and you're going to have to watch your back, and it's just so many things you're not going to have to worry about. You see, when we see the world conform, it means to be fashioned as something or someone else. When we see the word conform, also to accept and agree with it as good. So you see, as we conform to even just some of the things of the world, we saying it's all right. I'm not going to even go into things that Christians people do, and they just think it's all right, because that's a decision that each one of us have to make for ourselves. But if it's taking all of your time, and you don't have no time for God, then that's an issue. If that's where all of your money is going, and you're not giving any for kingdom building, then that becomes an issue. If God has given you talents, and you're only using it for the world, you're not using it for to help somebody along the way, any of those things, then that's an issue. I'm not taking inventory on what someone do. Because that's an individual thing, like I said. But we have to evaluate ourselves and decide, what have we done for Jesus lately? You see, the worldview should never be our guide for living as a child of God. The world standards is described in the Bible as the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and pride. That's what the world is described in the Bible. Just look around. Anything goes. The Holy Bible is our instruction for living. And we should allow the Word of God to become our compass. What does a living sacrifice look like in a practical sense? We are a living sacrifice by God, by not being conformed to this world. When we look at what the world, the Bible defines the world is, the lust of the flesh include everything that appeals to our appetite, and involves excessive desire for food, drink, sex, and anything else that satisfies a physical need, the lust of the flesh. But as long as there's flesh on our body, flesh will crave for fleshly things. Sin dwells in the flesh. Remember that. We're going to have flesh on our bones till we die or when the rapture comes. Because if we die and we go in the grave, the first thing to leave is the flesh. And if when Jesus come back again, if we still on earth walking and talking, as the Bible say, and we be taken up in a twinkling of an eye with the rapture, God's going to take off our corruptible body, which is the flesh, and we're going to be our spirit is going to be united back with our, let me say that again. When we die, the first thing that goes away when we place in a grave is the flesh. The flesh fall off the bones, the worms, and the elements, you know, take care of it, and there's no more flesh. You dig up a grave after a long time, all you see is bone, the flesh is gone, because that's where the corruption lies. But if we still here when Jesus come back and the rapture takes place, we're going to be taken up in a twinkling of an eye, and God is going to take off our corrupted body, which is made of flesh, and give us an incorruptible body. So you see, flesh is temporal, and it's going to pass away. So if you just keep feeding flesh, you remember whatever you feed, that's what's going to grow. And if we look at the lust of the eyes, mostly involve materialism, coveting whatever we see that we don't have, and envying those who have what we want. That's deep. That's the lust of the eyes. Want everything you see. Can you afford it? Do you need it? You know, is it good for you? Will it be good to you? But because your eyes see it. You want everything. Like they used to say, don't try to keep up with the junk. You want everything somebody else. They got. And you know this is true in the world. Let's look at it. People wear the weave. You know, it became the style. There's nothing wrong with weaving. Don't get it twisted. I'm not saying that. But they put it on, and the movie stars wore it. Then everybody wanted it. The world. You know, God made us to be individuals, but the world have a way of fashioning what we should be, what size we should be, how a woman should look, how a man should walk, you know, what kind of clothes you should wear, you know, what kind of car you should drive. That's the lust of the eyes. And if you're trying to achieve it all, and it's all right if you're financially able and you can get whatever you want, but don't let it be at the expense of leaving Jesus out or putting yourself in a place, a situation where you can't handle it. And you see, the pride of life is designed by an ambition for that which is puffs us up and put us on a throne of our own lives. You know, thinking more of yourself than you ought to. Pride, the Bible said, there's always destruction when there is pride. And really and truly, you just be making you become a legend in your own mind. And usually, you can't see what people see, and you're not as much of a legend as you think, because remember, it's in your own mind. And that's why the Bible said that we should cast down our imagination and anything that exalts itself against the word of God, because your mind will play tricks on you. You begin to think that you are all that. And when it's all said and done, you're not as much as you thought you was. You see, transformation demands change. Therefore, transformation is not always a good thing unless it is done properly. Paul states that this transformation should take place by the renewing of your mind. You see, Satan play all his tricks in the boardroom of your mind. And the only way that Satan can work on us is through us is in our mind. People always say, I rebuke you, Satan, in the name of Jesus. But in rebuking him, we must understand that what he's trying to do to us. If you pay close attention, you will learn Satan tricks and tactics. You know, you're going to find out when he come to you, how he come to you, why he come to you. You know, what's the best time he come to you? You know, and all of those things. But that's if you're paying attention. The Bible says we should always think on things that are lovely, things, think on things that are good. Think on things that are a good report so that our mind can be acceptable unto Christ. You know, if you keep feeding yourself things that are good, you got to watch the conversations you participate in. You got to watch the things you're thinking about that may not be right. You have to think on things that are lovely, think on things that are good, and think on things that are a good report. So our thinking could be acceptable to God, and the more you do that, the more you transform yourself. You see, if we read the Word of God, we will show the will of God. We will know the will of God. Because the Bible says, so as a man thinketh, so is he. And you got to remember, whatever you feeding, that's what's going to grow. You see, the world applauds sin. Hollywood encouraged us to envy sinners. You know, all through the Bible, they used to get on God. You know, even in the Old Testament, why he's allowing the sinners to achieve. God said it looked like they're achieving and winning. He said, but it's only temporal. And we can't set our sights on everything that's of this world. We have to set our sight and our hope for eternity. Because remember, only what you do for Christ will last. But you see, Hollywood encouraged us to envy sinners. They want all of the boys to be like the rappers. Come on now, y'all. All the girls to be like Beyonce or whoever. And we foolishly compare ourselves to people. Often the popularity of stars is due to their, watch what I'm saying now. Often the popularity of stars is due to their ability to stir up dissatisfaction with our lives. Now that's deep. You see, advertisers prey on our natural tendency to love the world. And most marketing campaigns in some way address the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, or the pride of life. You know, at one time it wasn't like that, but you can't see, you're not hardly able to see a commercial without a half-naked woman. If they start using them sell cars, they start using them to buy refrigerators. You know, they just did all of that. So if you pay attention, you got to see what's going on. And I'm going to conclude with this. God tell his children to set their priorities according to his eternal value system. And if we do this one thing, we're going to present our body as a living sacrifice, and I think you're going to have all in life that you expect you should have. And what it says is, God tell his children, I'm going to read that again, to set their priorities according to his eternal value system. And God has given us a scripture to tell us how this should be done. And it's Matthew's, who have your Bible, Matthew 6 and 33. God said, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all things will be added unto you. Everything will pass away. And if you're doing only things to the world, then you must expect to get your blessing from the world. And we know all of the things of the world is temporal. And only what you do for Christ will last. And that's our lesson for tonight. And I just now realized, like I told you when I got started today, you know, I couldn't get in and some people wasn't able to get in, but they called back. But I was a little bit off, but, you know, I trusted in God and I held on to the confession of my faith. But when I started the program, I didn't get a prayer and I didn't play a song. And now it's 9:14 and it's time for that. I see Miss I think that's Elyria Mackey. She may have wanted to sing a song in the beginning. I didn't even pay attention to the board because I was a little off. But you see, even though I was a little off, I decided to go on in Jesus' name, and I still did the assignment that I had before me. But right now, I'm a press and open up the thing for Elyria, and Madison is here as well. And I'm going to find out what Elyria would like to do, and we'll let Madison come on, and that'll be our program for tonight.
Wait.
Elyria? Elyria, are you on the phone?
Wait. Yeah.
Elyria?
Yeah.
Yeah, I see that your one button was pressed. I didn't notice it in the beginning of the program, so I'm calling to see what you wanted to do for us tonight.
I don't know what you want.
Whatever God leads you to do. Madison is here. He could pray, so you could do a song. Madison, you could sing a song?
I can pray.
Madison say he can't sing a song.
Yes. Oh, okay.
So would you give us a short version of a song?
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay. Jesus loves me. This I know. The Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong. They are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus. Just loves me, yes, Jesus loves me, oh yes, Jesus loves me, for the Bible tells me so, yes, Jesus loves me, oh yes, King Jesus, he loves you and me, oh yes, Jesus loves me, for the Bible tells me so. I'm a child of the King. I'm a child of the King. See, Jesus is my Savior. I'm a child of the King.
Thank you so much, Elyria.
Okay.
And I want to thank some of the Wednesday night Bible study people that came to my church on Sunday and shared with me as I brought the sermon. You know, I was so excited to see them. It was just a wonderful time in God. And I'm thankful for my Wednesday night inspirational people that decided to come to the church service and hear me deliver the sermon. I was elated and blessed. At this time, which I didn't do before Elyria sung, if anybody would like to make comments about the lesson, you know, ask for prayer or, you know, you know, whatever. If you press the one button on your phone at this time, I'll open the mic and let you come in. Also, I want to give a praise report because we have been praying for Sister Diane McBride. That's the lady who always asks for prayer for her sons and her grandson. And a couple of weeks ago, we said that she was going to have surgery and have a hip replacement. Well, she's had the surgery, and through the grace of God, she's doing well. But continue to pray for her. Sister Cynthia Sanders, who'll be on the program, that's the one who had cancer, and she was taking her treatments. Well, I want y'all to know, she got off of her sick bed on Sunday. She came to church, and she did the respond to the welcome, and she stayed for the service and the sermon. And Cynthia, if you're on the line tonight, you just don't know how much encouragement that was for me, and I say thank you. Continue praying for Cynthia. Continue praying for Benita Washington as they go through their treatment with the cancer. Also, if anybody, and I want y'all to please pray for my son, you know, because prayer changes things. The Sunday school lesson a couple of weeks was Peter was placed in jail, and the people all gathered together and prayed, and God heard it, and he opened the door, and Peter walked out. I believe in prayers. But if anybody want to add anything to the prayer request list, or you want to expound on the lesson, you may do so. If not, we're going to have our closing prayer by Madison, and we're going to end the program for tonight. I need y'all to be prayerful for me because just like tonight, you know, it barely wasn't going to work. But God saw fit, you know, God saw fit. So I was doing everything I could to try to get in the studio, and I couldn't. But God let me in, and I say thank you. But we have to be prayerful for these things. When Wednesday come, and sometime you get that text from me saying we're going to be on tonight, say a prayer. Invite God into what he's going to do at the 8:30 hour. Because that's what's necessary for all of our success. And at this time, I'm going to bring Madison. He's going to do the closing prayer. And if anybody would like to make any comments or anything, once he gets through, just press the one button on your phone.
Thank you, God, for this Wednesday that people are able to call in and that they have enjoyed the lesson, the singing that was provided, and that when they have learned the lesson, they were able to understand more things in the Bible and things about their life and things to connect with God to have a better life. Thank you, God. Please be with the people while they're about to go to sleep or get ready for a job or doing homework or anything that needs to be done. Thank you, God. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Thank you, Madison. And if there's anybody would like to say anything, it's now 9:23. You may press the one button on your phone. Anybody have a praise report? Anybody want to talk about the goodness of Jesus? Somebody might want to talk about the attack of Satan. But if there's nothing else at this time that anyone would like to add, bring forth to the body of the Christ that joined together on Wednesday for the Bible study, what we're going to do is go ahead and close right now. And I'm fixing to do the benediction. And I'm using 2 Peter 3:18. God wants us to but grow in grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. If you guys really pay attention to preachers on the TV, preachers on the radio, everybody is praying and teaching some of the same things. It's asking us to grow because being perfect doesn't mean being perfect in a natural sense, because remember, if we could become perfect, Jesus wouldn't have had to die. But what it's saying is to become matured Christians, learn more and more each day about God and His goodness and His way. And that's our lesson for tonight. And God be with you until we meet again. And I pray that everybody have a wonderful week and that God deliver all of the desires of their heart. I have another caller that pressed the button. Caller 504-421-44. Your mic is open.
Hi, Minister Adams. I'm Cynthia. I was on the line. I thank you for your comments. And the devil is busy because he tried to keep me from getting this message tonight. I apologize. I had to put you on hold for a second, but God does things, and He works in mysterious ways. And I must confess that when you asked me a while back to be on program, I wasn't feeling too well. So Sunday, God just gave me another opportunity to use me as a vessel to deliver a response. And I thank God for that opportunity, and I thank God for you inviting me to your service. And it was off the chain. Minister Adam preached. She was off the chain. I never heard a minister, but she really ministered Sunday. I thank God for allowing me to be there and to use me also. And thank y'all for listening.
Thank you so much, Sister Cynthia. I love you so much. And I'm praying
too.
That God, you know, take care of you and that you don't suffer and that He bring you through.
Mm-hmm.
And that's Cynthia Sanders. Y'all remember to keep her in your prayers. Thank you, Cynthia.
Mm-hmm.
We have another caller that has pressed the button. Caller, your number is 95257. Your mic is open and you could begin to speak at this time.
Hey, Tindai.
Hey, Tamika.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
This is my niece from Houston, Texas, calling in. Hey, Tamika.
I wanted to thank you for the word tonight, and Sister Illyria for singing, and Brother Madison for giving us the prayer. I wanted to ask you and Madison before y'all left to pray for my health, and I'm asking everybody on the line to do so, that we're able to find out what it is that's going on when I go to the doctors. So that's pretty much what I was requesting, and to tell everybody good night and happy holidays to everyone.
Thank you, Tamika. So remember, Tamika Ward is asking for prayer. So we have to keep her in the forefront, and when we come on our lessons, her name's going to be included. And I thank God for allowing her to call and ask. You know, that's why she realized, for her to do an act like that, she realized that prayer changes things. Thank you, Tamika. And again, that's our lesson for tonight. Unless anybody else would like to say something, you still have time to press the one button. If not, that's our lesson for tonight. And if it's God's will, I'll meet you back on Wednesday, same time, same station. And I pray that everybody have a great week and God show up and show off in your lives because of the commitment when you keep calling back Wednesday after Wednesday with a desire to know more about your Savior. So that's our lesson tonight. God be with you until we come back again. And I tell everybody good night to all of you. And God loves you, and so do I. Good night.